The last time I was with you guys, we discussed momentum. And the fundamental principle of that was simply doing the right thing. To gain consistency and to keep consistency, to gain momentum, is to simply do the next right thing. You do the right thing, it builds you up. You do the wrong thing, it tears you down. Just make it real simple. As you continue to face each next thing and choose to do the right thing, and you will continue to build that momentum and consistency in your life that you're moving. Right? But one of the things that I know I've been facing lately, I know that many of us face, and looking into times, is discouragement. You know, there's a lot of outside pressure. I mean, I'm hearing that when we're going around. You know, when we go outside that door, it's on. You know, I mean, I still argue that I'm the worst enemy that I ever had. Amen, right? There's been no worse enemy to me than me. Yes or no? Yes. Right? Because we haven't figured that part out yet. Then we'll go back and start over again, right? But there are outside temptations, enemies, frustrations, and things going on out there. How do we overcome that temptation? Overcoming discouragement, rather, really, is what I want to talk about. You know, basically, at the end of the day, life's specifically not fair. And the problem is our perception of expectation is that we view it to be fair, right? Oh, that happened, that ain't fair, right? But I'm coming from a standpoint where my expectation is that it should be fair. So I'm kind of setting myself up, amen? And I'll tell you, you know, you think about this, and when I think about this, and you think about the court system, the law, the kids, us as kids, our kids now, all the things that we've been through, and what we think about, is that fair to them? Was it fair to us? Is it fair to them now? You know, well, what's really fair? The reality of it is the perspective of thinking that it should be fair, right? I'm going to get deeper into that, but I think that Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He never said it was going to be easy. He didn't say that. But in Matthew 11, 27 through 30, he does talk a little bit. He says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him, come to me, all." Say that, all.
All.
How many? Anybody? Right? All. Right? Right? So we're not discluding anybody. Where you've been, what you got, what the situation you're in right now, where you've been, what you've done. Amen? How many times do we always think to ourselves, you know, I'm not good enough anymore? Devil gets in your mind, starts telling you, you're not good enough. Right? Or you make a little bit of progress and make a mistake, and then you feel like you can't turn back around again. Well, because he wants you back. Right? Amen? I don't need to focus on you if you're doing what I want you to do. But if you turn to the Lord and start trying to change your life and implement faith in your life, well, now I might want to, you know, intervene. But he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so he's saying that his yoke was easy. I don't know how many of you guys read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but, you know, for me reading that and just putting myself in the mind of Christ, right? The idea that we're living our lives today through the 2018 microwave generation, I want it right now. Every temptation that can possibly be out there is out there right now. But I'm trying to view this technology. I'm trying to view this day and age. I'm trying to view this, you know, culture through the mind of Christ. Amen? And it's not a simple thing to do all the time, because there's so many different angles that are coming at me. Amen, right?
Amen.
So, and he said, but that his yoke was light. Now you think about this from our perspective. David said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So that chaos really begins with Adam. And the very seed from David states that he was born in iniquity, which then becomes the king, the seed of the king, the true king, later down the road. But not to get too far off into that, my point is this, is that the world was chaotic before we were born.
Come on.
And there's going to be chaos in that world. But the difference is today, if I have the mindset of Christ and faith in my life, so I got courage to face whatever's coming at me, I can expect that things might not go right for me. Amen, right? I mean, things are going smooth. We're putting in 110% all of a sudden, right? And you're like, why did this happen to me, right? Why? How? Why? Right? It just keeps happening over and over and over again. I always think, well, initially, 15 years ago, the things that have been occurring to me would have changed in charges again, right? But, you know, having had so many noodles, it's kind of given me the encouragement to think otherwise, right? And to think that there's only one source that could actually tame me. There's only one power out there. It wasn't me. It wasn't my kids. I'm going to be good for my kids. I did all that, right? Am it right? Right? I'm going to do good for my wife, but I did all that, right? There's been only one power in this entire world that's ever had the strength to stop me from doing the things that I do, even unto myself. Amen?
Right. Amen.
And the thing is that we're surrounded in chaos. In 1 Peter, he says, "For you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable. So that as though through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. This is the word being preached to you." So my argument is for me and for you is that the stronghold, the real pressure, the real problem is between our ears. Right? Amen, right? Yep, we let ourselves start talking to ourselves, you know, and we start rationalizing things. We start telling ourselves, you know, I can't tell you how many people I talk to. That's like, I'm a good person. I'm do these good things. And I get out there and I do this and I do, you know, but the kingdom of heaven wasn't rationalized upon good people. And I'll tell you first that I'm not a good person. Amen, right? You'd be like, whoa, how are you going to tell me that right now? And you're preaching. Well, because I want to keep it real. I'd rather tell you the truth right now than try to make you feel better. I'm not here to make you feel better. I'm here to share the truth to you. Amen, right? Right? So if I can't see it myself, I can't share it. So if I'm looking in the mirror and I know that there's a defect in my life, it's time for God to shine a light on that. It's time to set it down. Amen? It's not about being a good person. It's about being in Christ. Right? There's a huge difference in this, right? And he said, come all, right? All. Ye that are weary and laden, and I will give you rest wherever you are, whatever you're going through. He said, come on to me and I will help you. I will give you rest. He didn't say, go take a shower, put on your best clothes and put up the act in front of me to make it look good. Amen, right?
Yeah.
He didn't say, come in here and make it look good. He said, come as you are. Come as you are and I will give you rest. And that's the key, because we're all on these different walks and we all start, but we're all going to the same place. And that's the thing. The stronghold is between our ears. The problem is of the body, but in that verse, the body's passing away. Hebrews 7:25 says, hence, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So you think that we have a living God today, amen? And that verse says that he's living daily to make intercession for them. For them, for us, right? To each and every single one of us, God prays daily. I don't even have that kind of discipline in my life. Amen, right? How many of us get our reading and our praying and our, you know, we want to, we do, which on a segue to that, Marvin and I are going to roll out a phone application that we can all read together, but we're not going to get too far in that right now, but I'm looking forward to it. Thanks to Marvin. But he says, since he always makes intercession for you. Intercessor is a lawyer, which we don't like here, right? But in this case, he's a good lawyer, right? He goes in there before God and he said, here's Ben, this awful ragamuffin, Marvin's quote. You know, this terrible guy. He's not a good person. We've established that. But he trusts me. And he's putting his hope in my wisdom, in my teaching, in my faith, and he's doing his best to live his life in my direction towards my kingdom. And because of that, and because of his belief and his conviction in me, I have cleansed him pure so that he can walk straight into the throne and pray to the Almighty God. That power is so unique that you and I don't have time to break that down right now. But the ability to walk in front of the creator of the universe, which I'm still attacking perspective right now. Because when the alarm clock did or didn't go off this morning, was your perspective that I serve the creator of the universe? The creator of all men, of all time, of all future, of all past, of all present, that this is my God, the most powerful. Amen? All things are possible through God, right? That God. Or did I wake up today and I have to do this and I had to do that and I had to do this and I had to do that and that? Right? The perspective is smaller. I'm looking at these frustrating situations in front of me and not the power of the Almighty God that's in my life. This gets closer. I want to bring this in. But what is easy? Easy to us or easy to God? And the reality of this is it's a polymetamorphism, right? And I understand that's strange. Polymetamorphism is the presence of one more maze, phase of a morphism, which actually is a sequence of a cycle of events through any kind of progression of evolution. And I'm going to bring this very easily for us to understand. Consider the butterfly. The butterfly starts its life as larva, right? How many guys eat that? Nobody? Somebody does, right? John the Baptist probably did. But anyways, he becomes what? He becomes what? After he's larva, what does he become? Huh? Well, he crawls on the ground first, right? He's a caterpillar. So he crawls all around, you know, doing what he does. I'm not too familiar with what he does, but he does it. And then what does he do? Then he becomes...
Christmas.
He goes to Christmas?
Christmas.
Oh, he christens. Yeah. So, right, he becomes a cuckoo, right? And after a amount of time, then what? Now he's a butterfly. He's a butterfly and he flies away. But more, or specifically, if we talk physically about polymetamorphisms and we think about the world today, picture the Grand Canyon started as a river that just flowed. Right? And over time, that water hit the rock and broke the rock down and carved out what we all go and pay to visit for some reason. And we go look at it, and we're like, this is amazing, it cut through the rock. But the reality of it is this is the sequence of what it's supposed to do. Rivers cut through, they drive their breath. But when you think about this spiritually, upon all the different things that you're doing, when you're looking at it from an aspect of faith, the polymetamorphism is that there are many changes of your life cycle that will cause you to evolve and become the person in faith that you're supposed to be. Amen. Right? Amen. Right? So you went to prison. You had an addiction. You failed your children. Right? I'm talking about me right now. Right? Amen? You've gone through these things. The river cut the rock. It broke it down. It made its path. But God, being almighty, can use that for good. Amen? The evolution of faith can take any person anywhere at any time and bring them to where they're supposed to be. Amen. That's only the power of God in your life. Amen? Can anybody recognize that? Another question that we get real stuck on is overall discouraging when we see outside suffering. And I don't know how much time we got, how deep you want me to go into the scenario, but we shouldn't be caught up on outside suffering. Because first of all, I need to think of God. I need to think of God, right? Not Ben. Not Ben's thoughts. God's thoughts. So it isn't how I feel. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Right? I got to stop bringing God down to me and bring myself back up to God. Amen, right? Yeah. Because I don't really have the capacity to truly understand him and his power. And I got to stop putting this in my perspective and put me in his. Amen, right? And that's the difference. That's how you hold on to that. But you see, the question that I have for you guys is, wouldn't the author of life have the authority to take it? Yes or no? If he's the author of life, does he not have the authority to take it? Well, he would. But my perspective is that's not fair, right? My perspective is this challenge, this suffering, this sickness, this death, this thing that I witnessed, right, is not fair. The reality is that I'm focused on that, not God. We got to think. We got to change our physical minds into thinking. He says, by your perseverance, you will win your souls. Implies trials. By your perseverance. Amen? Righteous man falls down 7 times. How many times he gets up? 7. No matter how many times you knock me down. No matter how many times I knock me down. I get back up. Amen? Romans 14. Man's able to stand because his maker is able to make him stand. Right? I don't have to make excuses for anything that I've done in my life. You can read about it. It's printed out. It's probably this tall from the ground. I don't have to think about that anymore. I'm looking forward. What did Lyle say about the plow earlier?
Any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back will be fit for the kingdom of heaven.
Right. Woo! Well, what's he saying, though? He's plowing, but he's looking back. Right? Right? Where are you going to go? Yeah. You know, we got to set our minds to seat your eyes on the eyes of Christ where he is seated. So that I'm not looking at all this frustration right now. And I can agree that it can be. It can be. Life can be frustrating. It is. I live there. I get it. But the reality is perspective, man. My perspective's too small. I see that I'm not where I want to be. I see that I don't have what I want to have. I see that I'm not where I want to go, right? And all that perspective gets in my way. But if I'm looking at Christ and I'm thinking about, let me give you guys a little testimony recently. Now, I've gone through a lot of rough times lately. I created a whole business in my mind that was then going to be able to employ our guys so that I could have jobs. So that we could start hiring everybody that nobody else wants to hire. So everybody gets a fair shot. Now, if you screw it up, that's on you. You're back out, right? But if I give you a shot and you got a chance to get a job and this works out, then here's another chance to work on our people. Amen, right? I invested the last 2.5 years of my life into this, every single penny I could get my hand on, and loans and all the above. And my partner basically just failed miserably and smashed it, and I lost everything I had. Everything. And now I'm still working the same job that I already worked 12 and a half hours a day to try to stretch and fit this scenario and still pay for the loans, and I may or may not have gas to make it to work next week. And this is the situation I'm in. And 15 years ago, I promise you I'd be locked up right now. I promise you. I know.
Right.
But today, God's telling me to pray for that man. He's telling me to pray for him. And I don't have the ability to do that. So I just have to focus and understand. But see, my perspective is this. No matter what I do, no matter what happens to me, if my mind is on Christ and I'm moving, then when every single time a door shuts, a door opens. Amen? If I'm in position, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. See, I had a theory that I had an idea that was going to come to fruition to be able to do something I loved and then tie it to the thing that means the most to me in the whole world, right? First and foremost, don't get it twisted. The reason why all of us mentors and guys are here, we're here for you. Amen? So this is the best thing that I've ever been a part of in my entire life. I couldn't be more thankful, and we love you guys. That's why we're here. So we're trying to create, you know, new scenarios. We're always trying to think of things that we can do to try to help work together to move forward. But anyways, I lost it all. I lost it all completely. But my perspective was this. Here's the deal. It's very simple. What's my purpose? What's my purpose?
To serve God.
To serve God and to share his love to anyone and everyone I come into contact with. And no matter who I am or where I am or what I got or what I make it to or what I don't got, if I'm sharing that love of God, I fulfilled my purpose. Amen, right? When I was preaching on A block and D block in federal prison and state prison and then Bible study, amen, I was serving my purpose. That's the purpose. All this other stuff is ancillary. It's insignificant and really just took too much time and focus. It wasn't the right thing. I believed in it. I wanted it to happen. But the perspective is that God is all powerful and can do anything. Amen, right? Right? So it's ancillary. The reality is we got to stay in our zone. And he's saying that by your perseverance, which we're talking about momentum, doing the right thing, implying trials, you will win your souls. But in your faith, you go through something. Amen, right? Everybody goes through something. When you talk about a plant, and they usually talk about spirituality as wheat because it has a process that it grows through. There's points and times in your life that wheat has chaff around it to keep it safe. And then there's a necessary process where that chaff has to be removed in order for it to grow and become mature so that it can plant and produce more seed. And if you think about your life and the trials and the butterfly and the man in prison and the situations that you've gone through and you use that to harness you and make you stronger as a man of God, then you're just slopping off chaff and becoming a more mature Christian. Amen? Rain descends, floods came, they blew, the wind came, it blasted against the house on the rock. And what? The house stayed. But the house built on the sand. The winds came, the rain blew, it blasted against the rock. What happened? And great was its fall. Haggai, you fill up a bag, but your bag's still empty. You drink, you're still thirsty. You're hungry. You know, you eat, but you're still hungry. Why? He said, consider your ways. It's just so simple that if I'm focused on me all the time, everything I go and grab and put in the me hole just ends in another hole. What's one of my favorite verses? I quote it every single time. So the old and the bad and are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. Knowing that there's nothing I can put inside of me to stop this hole except faith. Except faith. And we're talking about life not being fair right now, and I'm trying to stretch our perspective and thinking about overcoming discouragement when the reality is no matter what you're facing today, it's not nearly as discouraging as we think it is. We just give it that power, amen, right? But I'm not going to give it that power in my life. I'm going to stay focused on Christ, whether I have a car, whether I'm walking, whether I ride my 10 speed here to talk to you guys, then that's what it is, amen, right?
Yep.
Matthew 5. 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those that persecute you, in order that you may become sons of the Father who's in heaven, for he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Don't be jealous of evil. Proverbs 24, for there will be no future for the evil man, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Right? And it's such a hard thing to think to myself about praying for those who have hurt me, praying for those, you know what I mean? Praying for your enemy. But if you can really, truly put on that mind of Christ and think about all the years of your life that you lived against him and how he interceded for you every day, amen, right? If he can forgive me for the 552,000 times that I did him wrong, amen, right? God knows that I can forgive this guy. Amen, right? Right? He said, oh, I got one more for you guys. Matthew 20, 1 through 16. I got to share this because we're talking about life being fair. Laborers in the vineyard, it's a parable. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers a denarius for one day, he sent them out. And he went about at the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to those, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give to you. So they went. Again, he went out to the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And at the 11th hour, he went on and found others standing around. He said to them, why have you been standing around here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, go into the vineyard too. And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard came to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them for their wages, beginning with the last group first. Those who hired the 11th hour came in and received a denarius. And those that came in the first, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, that the last men worked only an hour, but you paid them equal to us, their borne burden and scorching in the heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree for a denarius? And he said, what's yours is now yours and go. Wish to have this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or do you eye the envious because I'm generous? So the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And you think about it from a, I guess, a worldly perspective, I guarantee you if I went, you know, we went to work tomorrow, worked all day, somebody showed up at the end of the day, they got paid the same that we do, we'd be like, what? Really? Right? I mean, that concept's tough, but the idea is this, he already paid the price. He paid the whole price. Amen. When you think about Christ and what he went through in order to just get this message to you, the fact that 11 of the apostles died to get the message to you, the fact that other people overseas are dying daily because they're getting caught in contraband. Amen. And their entire families are getting killed over this right now. Right? Amen. Just to get that message to you. What's the message? That Jesus loves you and died. Amen. Right? And you think about it, just keeping it so simple, and you think about, there is a gift that's readily available for each and every single one of us, free to give. And the fact of the matter is, that's the wage. That's the wage. And that was the thing I was thinking about as far as progress and discouragement, because we always feel like we want to be so much further. But the reality is we have the ability to be just as equal as each other right now. And the true prize, the true payment, is just that glory in our faith. It's already free, and it's the same honor that each and every single one of us get. Am I right? So the problem's my perspective. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It's my closing verse. Lyle always says that we're lying when we say we're going to close, but that's I'm getting close. When the preacher says it. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. All right, check this out. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. For this reason also I highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that every name of Jesus and every knee will bow to those that are heaven and on the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he's saying that it's having an attitude in my mind. And I know a lot of times we talk about having an attitude of gratitude. What am I thankful for? Rather than frustrated about. And you'd be surprised if you control that mindset where you wake up tomorrow morning and you start telling yourself, what am I thankful for? Rather than what am I frustrated about? And see if that day doesn't go differently. But more importantly, he's pointing out the fact that God had the ability and the audacity to become one of us, specifically to pay for our debt. Amen. And I know that this gets a touchy kind of conversation, but I don't mind being in it. Because anybody that can truly stand here in front of me right now and say that you've never hurt someone or hurt yourself or feel like you've sinned or don't know what sin is, come up here and tell me that right now, right? I mean, every single one of us has a built-in conscience that we can hear. And then the Holy Spirit speaks at that conscience to tell us what is right or wrong. But it's specifically not about being right or being good. It's about having faith. Amen? Amen. And I can assure you, if you put forth 10% energy into your faith, God is going to give you 20%. If you put 100% energy into your faith, God's going to give you 200%. Amen? And David said in Psalms, what did he say? He said, if you don't believe it, try me. What I'm trying to think of that verse. I can't paraphrase it. But he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, if you don't believe me, try me. Abraham Lincoln said, a happy man is as happy as he wants to be. So it's about perspective today. And if there's anything that I could bring our minds back to close, is our expectation is wrong. Amen? So that if we can just expect to get to be here, and that being enough, then doing all we can do for all of those that we come into contact with, keeping the attitude of gratitude and the mindset of Christ, and we're fulfilling our purpose by being in our role, then we're doing and can be confident that we are exactly where we need to be. Amen, right? And if I understand that I'm exactly where I need to be, then I've eliminated the draw to need to fill the hole. Amen? All right, let's pray.